to present to you more of what the National Federation of the Blind does. Here is our colleague. Here is our friend. Here is the state president of the National Federation of the Blind, who's been president there since what? 1992? Oh my God. 1992. And she served on the National Board of Directors for
almost
10 years. Without further ado, here is our national rep to be with us all weekend, Carla McQuillan.
Thank you, Ron. So before we go any farther, and Kathy knows this, and I was very proud of the way you responded when you got your door prize. In Oregon, we have a rule. If your name is called for a door prize and you don't act excited that you won it, we don't give it to you. We draw another name. So just so you know, you got to be excited, all right? Okay, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I just had to clear that up. Greetings from our national president, Mark Riccobono, who would love to be at every state convention, but for obvious reasons, that is impossible since there are several others going on this weekend. But he is interested in everything that is going on throughout the country, and he wants to know about what special things are going on here in Indiana. So what is the month of October? What does that mean to us? Meet the Blind Month. Yes, White Cane Day was the 15th, and this is Meet the Blind Month. So if your chapters are doing anything special for Meet the Blind Month, we want to know about it, all right? President Riccobono wants to know about all your innovative ideas and all the ways that you are reaching out to your communities and finding new blind members to join the movement and help us to reach our goals of equality and security for the blind. I'm also going to mention that our immediate past national president, Dr. Mark Maurer, is still very active in the organization, doing what he loves best, which is working on legal matters, right? So he also sends his greetings to all of you. You know what I'm a little worried about right now is it's just Saturday morning and I'm already losing my voice. I think I had too much fun last night.
Yeah.
Was the trivia fun last night? Here we go, the trivia. The trivia was fabulous last night. Yes, so to get back to President Riccobono, he really does want to hear from you. He wants your ideas. He wants your feedback. He's interested in being the most effective president we've ever had, and the only way he can do that is if he hears from the members and understands what it is that we would like to see the organization, what direction we would like to see the organization go. So I'm standing up here as the national representative, and I serve on the National Board of Directors, and as Ron has told you, have been president for many, many years. Well, I first came to the National Federation of the Blind as a scholarship winner in the state of Illinois in 1988. And I will tell you, I was poor. My husband was a graduate student. I was in school, and we had a 2-year-old girl, and we didn't have any money. So I was more than happy to apply for a scholarship from the National Federation of the Blind, but I was not going to be a part of that group of blind people, let me tell you, because I understood what blindness was about. My older brother, who is a year older than I am, lost his vision a couple of years before I did, and it took years for the doctors to figure out what it was, and they told my mom and dad that it was all in his head, because my mom and dad wore glasses, so my brother just deep down wanted to wear glasses. So they fitted, this is true, so they fitted him with glasses with clear lenses that did nothing at all, and nobody could figure out why he still couldn't read books. And he spent a year on a psychiatrist's couch, mostly playing chess, until finally my parents found a doctor who figured out that he had Stargardt's, which is an early onset of macular degeneration. And then almost immediately after that, I lost my vision. I was about 10 years old. And it was very sudden. And I spent the better part of, well, up until I was 28 years old and won my scholarship, trying to pretend like I could see, because I knew what blindness was, and that was my brother. And he used blindness as an excuse to not do anything he didn't want to do. First words out of his mouth, well, I can't do that because I'm blind. And I thought, you know what, that is so not me, so I'm not going to be blind, because that's not who I am. And when I got to the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, and there was a totally blind pharmacist, and a judge and teachers. And I was so impressed with the people that I met that weekend that it totally changed my perspective on blindness. And I remember I got to speak on the microphone when I won my scholarship. And in Illinois, they used to say, it's not a matter of if Carla will cry, it's a matter of when. So with tears streaming down my cheeks, choking up, I said to the crowd, you know what the best part about this convention is? Here I go. Is that I can go home and tell my mom and dad that I'm going to be okay. And that's what this organization does for people. Yeah. And if you hesitate for a moment, if you come across a blind person who is not a part of us, to reach out and invite them to come to a chapter meeting, to come to a state convention or some event that you're holding, look at the opportunity that they have missed. And they may not ever know. It's our responsibility to make sure that we don't leave people stranded by the road, that we lift them up and carry them for a while if we have to, but make sure that they're with us and that they know they're going to be okay. Okay, we're going to stop that now. All right, moving on to important matters, which is the work of the organization. There are four tables in the room that have there's more than four tables in the room, but there are four in the room that have noisemakers in the center of the tables, all right? This is going to require some audience participation, as some of you guys in the room have been around longer than I have. And some of you could probably give this national report better than I can. So we're going to shake it up a little bit, and we're going to play a little bit of a game show here. So we're going to see how much you guys know about the work of the National Federation of the Blind, all right? So I'm going to start with something simple. How many of you, and you can feel free to reach out and grab those, but everybody in the room, how many people here were at our national convention in Las Vegas, Nevada this last summer? Oh, good crowd. Good crowd. All right, so President Rick Abono gave a national report that was absolutely fabulous, also speaking of all of the things that we've done as an organization for the past year. Wait. You can't toot your whistle unless you know what the question is and you know the answer. That's the idea, all right? But I like your enthusiasm over there. Okay, so I'm going to number the tables. And because I'm a Montessori teacher and I have to go from left to right, it doesn't matter that it's the opposite for you. This front table here to your right, my left, is table one. Directly in front of me is table two. Towards the door is table three. And then in the second row in the middle, that's going to be table four. Okay, you guys all have your little noisemakers. So tell me one thing that you remember about the national or the presidential report from National Convention. Wait, toot your own. Well, you could have listened to it. You know, it's on the website. I don't hear anybody. You don't remember anything about our presidential report at National Convention? Nothing. Oh, okay. We got table one. Tell me, what do you remember? Shout it out. What do you remember? Diversity and inclusion. Give the man a hand. Yes. And thank you very much, because that leads right into what I was going to talk about next, which is that one of the focuses from this past year, the National Federation of the Blind has made a tremendous effort to let all of our members know that we are inclusive of everyone. We are a diverse organization, and that's what makes us strong. And we welcome everyone who wants to pitch in and work for the organization. Diversity, absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. One of the other things I'd like to bring up that he said in his presidential report was about a blind couple in Oregon that I helped out, that we helped out. It wasn't just me. There were lots of us. This past year, who had their first baby planned, and they would not allow the parents to take the baby home without 24/7 supervised by a sighted person. To the extent that the mom could not wake up or could not feed the baby in the middle of the night without waking up the mother-in-law and having her sit by her while she nursed her baby. And all of us pitched in and we worked on this, but this also brings us to one of the critical matters that the organization is working on that I know Indiana, who knows what legislation you're going to bring forth next legislative session. Lee, you can't do this one. This is somebody else. Somebody. Really, you guys, you're not getting into the spirit of this whistle thing. Okay, all right, who is that? Oh, Lee, I said, you know, you can't answer. The Indiana affiliate is going to bring forward legislation in your next assembly. What is it going to be? The right to parent. Come on, you guys. You got to be, yeah. All right. We'll give you an opportunity. Okay. All right, it works, yeah. It's what you get at the dollar store, all right? All right, now I have another question related to convention. All right, the next convention of the National Federation of the Blind is going to be held in what city? Houston, all right. Okay, if you want to ignore the whistles, that's fine, I don't care. Yes, Houston, Texas. Now, here's possibly a trick question. What day is the convention going to start? Wait. June 30th through July 5th. How many believe that's when it's going to be? Well, as of 3-4 days ago, it was officially decided that we are not going to have the convention those dates. The city of Houston is hosting another very, very large convention the same dates that we were scheduled to be there. Wait, let me. And they wanted both hotels that are on either side of the convention center, one of which is the Hilton that we're going to be staying at. So, as a favor to the city of Houston, and a little bit of a donation from the city of Houston, we agreed to move our convention to the 14th of July through the 19th of July. So please mark your calendars, because you don't want to miss that. Yes, so same hotel, everything is going to be just as it always is, a fabulous good time. But you get your 4th of July weekend free. Yeah? Yeah, the first time that happened, we're all sitting around going, my whole family, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh, we're never home at 4th of July. All right, here's another important one. Who can recite the 1-minute message for me? Are you kidding me? Okay, all right. Go ahead. Who whistled? Table one. Table one's active over there. Okay, nice. Nice. Now, I'm sorry for our streaming friends out there. You probably couldn't hear that. If you do not know that, you need to go home after this convention and you need to memorize it. It is actually not a 1-minute message. It takes about 20 seconds. It's not tough to learn. But I'll tell you what, if somebody asks you, there's a lot of blind people around here. What do you guys do? Well, the National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day, we raise expectations because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want, and blindness is not what is going to hold you back, right? Yeah. Simple. Really simple. And it's a great way to draw people in concise language about who we are and what we do. Nothing says it better. So I want all of you to make that your responsibility now, is to learn that. Okay, and without members, what would we be? Nowhere. Because the work of the organization is not done by the president, either at the national, the state, or the chapter level. It is done by our members. Because Ron and I can't do this by ourselves. We need all of your help. So, one of the things that we have instituted is new member teleconference calls. So for those people who may be a little reluctant to go to a chapter meeting or to figure out more about who we are and what we do, this is an opportunity for them to call in, have their questions answered, learn about the National Federation of the Blind on a conference call. Okay? Does anybody know which days these conference calls occur? It's consistent every month. There are two a month. Anybody know? One is a Wednesday, but which Wednesday? Third. You were close. The third Sunday and Wednesday of every month. And if you want someone to participate, we'd like kind of an RSVP because we don't want so many people that questions can't easily be answered. So membership at nfb.org is where you want to go to let them know that you are interested in having someone participate in one of their conference calls. All right? Repeat it. Membership at nfb.org for third Sunday and Wednesday of each month. All right. Now, let us go to legislative stuff. Yay. All right. I got to find in my notes because we get this Cliff's Notes for national reps that kind of gives us what we're supposed to talk about. And sometimes it jumps around in goofy ways. So I'm making notes as I'm going through, but it's not always consistent. Okay. So who knows what the GAIN Act stands for? G-A-I-N. Who can tell me what that is? Yeah, yes. Greater access through non-visual access. Yes. That is it. Nice. All right,
Susan.
Absolutely. So this would require that manufacturers of medical devices such as glucometers and exercise equipment, wouldn't that be nice to go into a gym and not have to have somebody come over and show you how to use the equipment or to realize that you can't use it at all, right? Okay, so that would be, and then your home appliances. Ovens, I mean, how many of you can find an oven with an actual dial you can use anymore, right? Oh, microwave, that's been true for a very long time, yes. Okay, so that is what this act would do. And Lee, do you know about representatives in Indiana, if you've got people on that piece of legislation? I'm just asking if you know. Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm looking for my next note. Okay. ATAA. Who knows what that stands for? Access Technology Affordability Act. That's right. And what this does, and this is all federal legislation we're talking about right now, okay? This would provide up to $2,000 refundable tax credit if you purchase accessible technology. Because accessible technology is more expensive for blind people than it is for sighted people because they don't need it, it helps us get employment, and that is now refundable tax credit. Even if you didn't owe money in taxes, you still get money back. That's what a refundable tax credit means. Pretty cool stuff. Yes. Okay, and time. Who knows what the Time Act is?
Somebody other than Lee.
I'm with you. Somebody other than Lee. Transitioning to integrated and meaningful employment. Absolutely. So this would remove the 14C of the Fair Standards Act. Good for you. Fair. Yes. Good job. Yes, indeed. So I am proud to say that the state of Oregon passed a piece of legislation this last session that would eliminate the subminimum wage in Oregon. And the really cool thing about that is we went to ask if someone would sponsor similar legislation, and they're like, oh, already done. So we supported it, but we actually were not the ones who brought it to the floor, which was really kind of a cool thing. So, yes, as of 2023, Oregon will no longer have anyone in the state paid less than the minimum wage.
Excellent.
Yes. Now, we're working on our parental rights thing, and that's not happened yet. But we're working on it. All right. So there are a number of surveys on our website that I'd like to direct you to. We're trying to get some information about accessibility in a variety of arenas. So please go to the website. There's a education access survey about accessible materials in education, whatever level, K through college. There's a survey about travel, because as cities begin to look at their infrastructure and change the way that transportation operates in communities, we want to be sure that we're there to give them proper direction so that blind people aren't left out. All right? How many of you have done the surveys for Uber and Lyft?
Hey.
Do you know what the Uber and Lyft settlement was all about for the National Federation of the Blind? Guide dogs. Uber and Lyft drivers were refusing to pick up people who had service animals. And it was so funny. I was in Baltimore, two years ago. It was actually, we were settling, but it was still in negotiation. And I'm with a couple of friends of mine, and we went out to dinner and called an Uber, and we're standing out on the curb, and both my friends have guide dogs. And my friend gets a phone call. This car had pulled up right in front of us. Friend gets a phone call, and I hear his end of the conversation, and he's going, "Well, what do you mean you won't pick us up?" Well, I figured out the guy was right there in his car. And I went over and I pounded on his window, and I said, "Hello, hello." I said, "These are my friends here. Are you saying you can't take them because of their guide dogs?" Yeah, I don't. And I said, "No, you know what? You're going to lose your job." I did. I was like, "If you..." The National Federation of the Blind has sued Uber and Lyft, and if you do not let us in your car, you are going to lose your job. And the guy let us in the car. Doggone right, Ron says. Yes, indeed. So... doggone. That's right. So anyway, please help us to get all the information there is out there. If you have any issues with Uber or Lyft and you have a service animal, please fill out one of the surveys online. It's very helpful for us, and we need to hold these guys' feet to the fire and make sure that they're doing what they need to be doing. Right? Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yes. Because it's always nice to tell them, "Hey, you guys are doing a good job." Okay? All right. Now, we have a number of education programs through the National Federation of the Blind. One that is near and dear to my heart that I know you guys do here is our Bell Academy. And who knows what Bell stands for?
Somebody other than Lee.
Actually, I was going to say somebody other than Barb. Okay, Braille is the first letter. What's the E? Enrichment. What's the first L? Literacy and learning. Yeah, the Bell Academy, where we serve, and you guys do a great job here in Indiana with that. You got a lot of members who come and help out, and Ron does some O&M, and Gene does some ADL. And we take kids 4 to 12 years old, typically for 2 weeks, day program. And for many of our kids, I know we see it in Oregon, it's their first exposure to Braille, even though it really should be their primary mode of reading and writing. So I applaud you for doing what you do. It's always been my belief that the sooner we get them, the more capable and competent they're going to be. And I love this program, and I am so glad to see that it is going well and consistently here in the great state of Indiana. So thank you all for that. We also have a program that is called the Braille Reading Pals, where parents can sign up, and every month or 2 months, I can't remember, the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults will send a book, and they also send a little plush stuffed reading pal, so you can sit with your blind child and read books to them, or you can be a blind parent who sits and reads a Braille book to your sighted child. Either way. And then there are Early Young Explorers, which is our program to help kids learn O&M, all right? So all of these things we provide. And what does it take to provide programs and services?
Money!
All right, so one of the greatest fundraising efforts that the National Federation of the Blind instituted many, many years ago in the 70s is called the PAC Plan. Does anybody know what PAC stands for, PAC? Oh, it used to be Pre-Authorized Check Plan, but it's not anymore for a very good reason. So what is the C? Contribution. Because it doesn't just have to be a checking account. You can now put it on a credit card for as little as $5 a month, automatically withdrawn from whatever source you choose, a savings account, a checking account, a credit card. You can make a pain-free donation to the National Federation of the Blind. Now, if you think about it, $5 a month, you can't even get a Starbucks coffee pretty much for $5 a month. You can go one day without Starbucks. In fact, you should do this. You should say, "Okay, the 10th of every month is my National Federation of the Blind PAC Day, and I'm going to skip my coffee," right? No, don't you say that. Okay, let me, no, I'm with you, because I wouldn't skip my coffee. I'm going to make coffee in my house instead of buying coffee, because it's a lot cheaper. That's what you ought to do. All right, so Indiana is number 34 on the PAC list out of our 52 states and territories. And you can do better. Now, currently, you are giving $371.50 a month. Don't know where the 50 cents comes from, but there you go. Montana is just ahead of you at 33. Montana, guys, come on. They have like three people in their state. I know, I've been there. You guys, you can beat Montana. So when do you do PAC, Ron?
We do PAC Monday.
Banquet?
Sunday.
Okay. I love doing PAC. So you just figure out how much you can give. And chapters. Every chapter in our state gives to PAC. So think about that. Between now and Sunday, you chapter people get together and chat and decide whether or not you can either get on the PAC or increase your PAC contribution. All right? Okay. So my time is about up. Do I have a minute for a question or two, Ron? 1 minute. Anybody have any questions? Go. Oh, okay. I can tell you, one of the problems is there are very few cities that have facilities. Now, the membership has made it very clear to the national president that we do not want to go to a multi-hotel in a convention center format. We could go almost anywhere if people would do that. But everybody wants to be in one hotel. There are not that many hotels that have enough meeting room space and enough sleeping rooms to accommodate us. Then, if they do, they're usually these big, fancy, expensive hotels, and we can't get the rates. So we've been under $100. That's not going to happen anymore. I mean, everywhere, even in the smaller hotels, it is difficult to get a rate under $100. So that is the truth of the matter. I'm not sure even Indianapolis has a hotel that would accommodate us at this point. Any other questions? Oh, my gosh, I did miss that, didn't I? Oh, look at you, Mr. Legislative Guy. AIM High, yes, the Access to Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act. Yes, and there's also, so this this would require that colleges and universities provide all of their instructional materials in an accessible format. I'm working with a young woman in Oregon now. Okay, Oregon State University, right? She is in the science and STEM fields. She has been in school for a year, and every term has had to drop out because they have not provided her with accessible materials. And this is Oregon State University. It's in one of the snootiest cities in the entire state of Oregon, and I cannot believe that they still are refusing to make an effort to provide her with accessible materials. So this would require it. It would establish standards, because right now the problem is colleges and universities go, we don't know what that means. So it would establish the guidelines so that they could comply voluntarily. But if they don't comply voluntarily, then there's, you know, we go after them. But at least it would give them the understanding of what their responsibility to the students is. Anything else? Yes, that is the Braille Reading Pals. Sure. All right. Thank you, President Brown.
All right. Good job.
Let me gather up my notes.
Good job. All right.